God bless you and welcome to Session 17 of our class, New Life in Christ, Foundations for Powerful Christian Living. We're still in the section of our class where we're talking about the gift of Holy Spirit and specifically the topic of speaking in tongues. And we're spending quite a bit of time on the topic of speaking in tongues. We want to make sure that you understand it very clearly. We're convinced that it's absolutely God's will for every Christian, every one of His children, to speak in tongues and speak in tongues much. And it's very important to us that this becomes a reality for you in this class. This is the session where we're actually going to show you how you can speak in tongues. So we want to encourage you right here at the onset of the session. If you're listening alone, take the time to stop and learn to speak in tongues. If you struggle with it, be sure to call the offices of Christian Educational Service. There's a staff member there who's willing and ready to help you speak in tongues. If you're an instructor and you're playing this class for a group of people, take the time to stop the tape if you need to and work with every single person who's with you today to help them, every single person who wants to speak in tongues. At the end of last session, John and I were going through a list of reasons why. Why should we speak in tongues? And we showed you 11 beautiful reasons why God wants us to speak in tongues. And I want to cover a couple more at the start of this session. And that is basically because God says in His Word, He wants us to. He wants us to speak in tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Could it be plainer, ladies and gentlemen? But I would rather have you prophesy. He that prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. You know, I've had Christians say to me, well, I don't speak in tongues and I don't really see the need to speak in tongues because my Bible says that prophecy is better anyway. You know, and they get it from this verse right here in 14:5. But I want to make it plain to you that the first phrase of the verse, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, stands. That is the will of God. He wants every one of us to speak in tongues. So what's the rest of the verse talking about? Well, the context here is talking about in a meeting. And it's pretty obvious right there in the verse. He who prophesies, the last phrase there, is greater than one who speaks in a tongue unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. When you prophesy, you speak in the language of the people present, the church is edified. When you speak in tongues, it's a language that God gives and it edifies you, and He wants us to do it. Also in 14:1, we've seen this one before. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual things. Eagerly desire spiritual things. We're supposed to go after the things of the Spirit of God with great zeal and eagerness. In fact, look in 1 Corinthians 14, look down in verse 12. This is another one where it reiterates why God wants us to speak in tongues. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, and in the NIV, the word gifts is in this verse twice, but it's not in the text at all. It's that same word, spiritual matters. Gifts just isn't in the text in this verse. And furthermore, I think that try to excel is pretty wimped out. You know, especially the way we use the word try in our common language in this day and time. Somebody says, would you do such and such for me? And you say, well, I'll try. You know, it's pretty wimpy. And that's not at all what the Greek is underneath this. The Greek word is the word zelao. And guess what we get from that? Zealous. We're supposed to be zealous to and eagerly eagerly desire to excel in the things of God. I'm so zealous here, I'm tripping all over my words. The King James translates this, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. It's pretty plain from these three scriptures that God wants us to eagerly desire. He wants us to seek to excel. He wants us to be zealous, to speak in tongues much. Now, John's going to answer a very important question about speaking in tongues, and that is, can it be misused?
Thanks, Sue. Wow, what a powerful presentation. Fabulously done. Masterfully done. God wants us to speak in tongues. How wonderful. We want to answer a very important question for the church, and that is, can speaking in tongues be misused? There are people who believe that since tongues comes from the Spirit of God, it can't be misused. But remember, speaking in tongues is a manifestation of the gift of Holy Spirit, and as a manifestation of the Spirit, it's under the speaker's control. That's why God has to say, by the way, I want you to speak in tongues. If He made you speak in tongues, you would when He made you, and you'd stop when He made you, and that'd be the end of it. But instead, what God does is gives you His gift, Holy Spirit, and then He asks us to come forward and speak in tongues. He says, be zealous to speak in tongues, because there are many people that aren't. We don't have to be. God doesn't take us over and control us. Demons control people. And every once in a while, you'll hear about somebody who was taken over by a demon, for example, in a seance or something like that, who started spouting another language, but they were out of control. They were being controlled by an outside force. That is not speaking in tongues. It is under your control. And that, by the way, is why we have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 almost an entire chapter on how to do it right. There'd be absolutely no need for a chapter on how to do it right if the way it came out was right, period. Absolutely. And I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. And this is a common, 1 Corinthians 14:23 is a common problem in the community of believers that speak in tongues. And again, we've got to make up our mind, are we going to believe the Bible, or are we going to believe what church tradition and what maybe our customs of various churches? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, the scripture teaches us, for if the whole church comes together, and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? I've been to churches, perhaps you've been to churches, where everybody's speaking in tongues all at one time as part of the worship service. God says, don't do that. I've also probably talked to 24 people in my years of being in the ministry that have told me that they have moved away from Christianity and away from the power of God because they went into a church where everybody spoke in tongues. They were all speaking in tongues at once, and it freaked them out. It scared them and upset them. And so they moved further away from the things of God. So can speaking in tongues be misused? Yes. And God gives us almost an entire chapter here on how to use it. And we know that in a worship service, for example, it needs to be spoken and interpreted. Otherwise, for the most part, tongues is for your private prayer life. Remember, you're not speaking to men anyway. How often should I speak in tongues? Let's answer that question. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And we are supposed to pray, and speaking in tongues is a prayer in the Spirit. We knew that speaking in tongues was praising God. How often do you want to praise God? See, speaking in tongues, we should be thinking in terms of speaking in tongues much, much. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. In verse 18, the Apostle Paul, writing by revelation, truth here, he writes, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's amazing. More than all of you. You realize that this verse is saying that the Apostle Paul so disciplined his life that he spoke in tongues more than the whole church of Corinth put together? The church of Corinth wasn't speaking in tongues very much, were they? But then you read Corinthians and you look at the mess their church was in. Corinthians was problems, problems, problems from chapter 1 on. And the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you church in Corinth. And I want us to think about then how much we should be speaking in tongues each day. We should be speaking in tongues much. And how often we speak in tongues, again, is our choice, because we can speak in tongues at any time. And that's a good point that I wanted to make, that remember that speaking in tongues comes from your spirit to your mind. You can speak in tongues out loud, yes, in the language can be heard, but you can also speak in tongues to yourself without anyone else hearing it. And because it's a language that flows from your spirit to your mind, you can speak in tongues and listen and pay attention to people around you. You can speak in tongues while you're driving. You can speak in tongues while you're doing many of your daily activities. And that tongues is manifesting the power of God. Remember that the tongues is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of God sealed inside you. The Holy Spirit is always there, so the speaking in tongues is always there. And that brings up a point that sometimes in charismatic circles today we hear about anointing. Like this person is speaking in tongues under the anointing, or he's preaching under the anointing. One of the things that we need to learn to do is we need to learn to use the words of God. We need to speak with the vocabulary that's the word of God. And if we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start there. And while you're turning there in your Bible, I'd like to read from the book that Christian Educational Services sells called The Gift of Holy Spirit, Every Christian's Divine Deposit. Because, again, it's important that we understand that we don't speak in tongues because of a special anointing. We speak in tongues because we've been given the gift of Holy Spirit. And I'd like to say that the evangelical world, the charismatic world, uses the word anointing in an erroneous way. The charismatic world uses the word anointing for a temporary empowering. This person has the anointing of the Spirit. That preaching was anointed. The Bible doesn't use the word anointed that way. The Bible uses anointed for the new birth itself. And in verse, I'm going to read from starting in page 34. And we write in the book, the anointing is a term many Christians use to describe an additional filling of the Holy Spirit or a temporary spiritual enabling. We're not trying to antagonize Pentecostals and charismatics who use the word anointed in reference to a temporary spiritual enabling, and we recognize that there are genuine experiences they are trying to describe. God does work with us as we step out in faith to obey Him. He energizes His gift of Holy Spirit in His people, resulting in manifestations of power, such as word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, miracles, and healing, that are just not available for us to do by our flesh alone. Our point in this book is that Christians have the responsibility to study the words in God's Word and to use the vocabulary of Scripture the way God uses it. Christians will not come to a unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, which comes out of Ephesians 4:14, if we don't use the vocabulary of the Word of God the way God does. How are Christians who come from diverse cultural and denominational backgrounds going to reach a common understanding if we use our own denominational jargon and ignore the way the Word of God uses its own vocabulary? It must be very confusing to a person who constantly hears about the anointing as if it were a temporary enabling that occasionally comes upon Christians, who then reads the Bible and never in italics finds the word used that way. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21, here's the word anointed in the scripture, verse 21. Now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, put his spirit on our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You see, when we were given the Holy Spirit, which is sealed inside us, that spirit, it uses a liquid vocabulary and says we were anointed with it, or it was poured out to us. So what do we find? We find in the Bible, in the epistles to the church, the word anointed is used of the new birth. And we need to make our vocabulary line up with the scripture. Then if I was asked, and what is a good question, by the way, and you can be turning to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, if someone said to me, well, John, there is a powerful, temporary energizing that occurs on Christians that is called the anointing in charismatic circles. What would you call that? I would go back to them and I would say, have you looked in Scripture to see what God calls it? Because that's the key. We want every Christian on the planet, no matter what version of the Bible they're reading, no matter what denomination or cultural background they come from, to be able to talk to one another and understand one another. And it's interesting, I went to a seminary that didn't believe in the manifestations of the Spirit, and they listened to the charismatics who were using this word anointing, and they just laughed because they couldn't go to the Bible and find what they were talking about, because the vocabulary was too different. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, it says, there are different kinds of working. And the word working is energeo. Of course, you'd be familiar with the word energy. There are different kinds of workings, energizings, but the same God works all of them and all men. So if I were to talk about the temporary spiritual power that God pours out upon some people, energizing the manifestations of the Spirit, instead of saying, oh, that was an anointed pastor, I would say that was a spiritually energized pastor. And then I'm using the vocabulary of the text, and that's what we want to do to avoid confusion. So, can speaking in tongues be misused? Yes, it's under your control. Please, read the scripture, operate it properly. How often should you speak in tongues? As often as you can. We ought to set our sights like the Apostle Paul to speak in tongues more than an entire church. And now to talk about the tongue itself and what comes out of us, here's Sue.
One of the questions you might have in your mind at this time is, well, when I speak in tongues, will the language always be the same? And that's a really good question. And very simply put, it's God's prerogative when you speak what the language is. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, we read, to another miraculous powers, this is right in the middle of the list of the manifestations, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And I believe the King James reads speaking in diversities of tongues or different kinds of tongues. The language that you speak when you speak in tongues is God's prerogative. That you speak, we're going to see, is your prerogative. But what you speak is God's prerogative because it's a God-given language. You know, you don't have to turn there, but I want to talk for a minute about the record we read on the day of Pentecost and then the people's response to that in Acts 2, 5 and following. You know, the people standing in the surroundings there heard that the apostles were speaking, some of the apostles were speaking some of their own languages, and it lists the people, Parthians and Medes and various other nationalities were standing, and they marveled because the languages that the apostles were speaking were known to them but not known to the apostles. Well, and I can tell you that before this outpouring, Peter and John and James didn't all you know, get together and conspire and say, well, you know, we're going to speak in tongues and you take the Median language and I'll take the Parthian language. It was nothing like that. When they spoke in tongues, they spoke as God gave the utterance, and it just so happened that the languages were understood at that particular time. Will your tongue change over time? Or even in a moment as you speak in tongues? And the answer is sometimes it can. And John and I both have examples of where this has happened to us. I've been speaking in tongues for 30 years. And, you know, for most of those 30 years, my language has sounded pretty much the same. It changed a little bit, and that's nothing that I do because it's God's prerogative, the language that I speak. But there was one time last fall when some of the Christian people that I fellowship with and I had gotten together and we were having a prayer meeting. And in this particular case, there was a lot of urgency to this meeting. It was right after the event of September 11th, where the World Trade Center was blown up. And we had gathered together to pray. Obviously, the nation was gripped in fear at that time. And we were praying in the spirit. We were speaking in tongues during that meeting. As I began to speak in tongues, and we were really praying intensely at that time, as I began to speak in tongues, the language that I spoke was totally different than I had ever spoken before in a tongue. And it lasted through that entire prayer meeting. And then the next time I spoke in tongues, back to my old familiar language. And that wasn't anything that came from my will. That was God's prerogative to give me a different language for that moment in time. And in this particular example, you know, I've made the point that there was urgency and it was a great time of tragedy and all that. And I don't mean to imply that's the only reason that your tongue would change, or that that is even a reason. When we pray in the Spirit, we know that we're praying perfectly, and it's God's prerogative, the language that we pray. And John, you said you had an example of this too.
Yeah, I do have an example, and this was very strange. And like Sue said, to this day, I don't really know why it worked this way. I was teaching a fellowship, a small church in Atlanta, Georgia, and was staying at one of the person's house, and the fellowship was at another home. And I got in my car to drive across town, and it was just me in the car. So a lot of times when I'm driving in my car alone, I speak in tongues out loud to praise God and to pray. And I started speaking in tongues, and like Sue, I've pretty much had the same language for close to 30 years. And this thing that came out of my mouth was completely different. And I'm a kind of a fan of old-time cowboy and Indian movies. I've watched a lot of them. And I recognize this as being something very close to what I would have heard on some of the old Indians speak in some of those movies. And it was interesting that with the language came a tremendous burden to pray for the American Indians, and particularly a tremendous burden came on my heart to pray for the young men, the young Native American men who were trying to take a stand on God's word in their various places. So I went to the meeting that morning, and I told everybody what had happened, and we just had a prayer session about the American Indians and prayed for great success in the move of God's word. And on my way home, I started speaking in tongues, and it was back to my regular tongue. So it was totally from God. Acts says the Spirit gives utterance, and that's exactly what happens. We speak, but the utterance, the language, comes out of us. So the language occasionally will change, absolutely. And talking about the language changing and the utterance being from God, I want to talk about speaking in tongues in the book of Acts. Because it is important that Acts was the foundation of the Christian church. And people can legitimately ask, was there speaking in tongues in Acts? And of course there was. We see, and I'm not even going to go there because we've been in Acts chapter 2 so many times, that in Acts chapter 2, the apostles spoke in tongues. And that was the initial outpouring of Holy Spirit. It was the birth of the church. It was the first time that Holy Spirit was born on the inside and evidenced on the outside. And Jesus Christ, before he ascended into heaven, told the apostles to go to all nations and teach the word. The apostles took what Christ said and kind of played it through their cultural filter, and they went to all nations to speak the word, but only to the Jews. It never occurred to them to go to all nations and speak to the Gentiles. My goodness, not the Gentiles. They figured Jews are everywhere. He surely had to be talking about just the Jews. So about 10 years go by in the historic church, about 10 years from the day of Pentecost, and not one Gentile had received the Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 10, the Lord shows up. He sends an angel to the house of Cornelius and says and tells Cornelius to send for Peter. Now, Peter, very frankly, would not have come. He would have just turned Cornelius' soldiers away and said, well, forget it, I'm not going with you. I'm not going to some Gentile's house. That isn't happening. But starting in verse 9, you can read how God, through a series of visions, the Lord Jesus Christ, through a series of visions, showed Peter that he should do what he was told to do, which was go to the Gentile's house. Peter did this not without protest. And if you start in verse 27 of Acts chapter 10, and Peter walks in the house, and then Cornelius falls down. Peter gets him up. In verse 27, talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people because Cornelius had gathered up all of his friends and relatives. And he said to them, this is cute, watch this, well, you're well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. And I can guarantee you, this is the first time in his life that Peter had been inside the house of a Gentile. And he was a little nervous. But he says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? And Peter doesn't even know. Why am I here? He just was under orders from God to go. Cornelius explains that the angel just said, send for Peter. So Peter says, well, okay, and he starts speaking about salvation through Jesus Christ. And in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Notice, capital H, capital S. It shouldn't be. This is not God, another name for God the Father, God who is holy and God who is Spirit. This is God's gift of Holy Spirit. So it should be small h, small s. The gift of Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And the question is, how did they know? You know, the Gentiles could have done any number of acts in the flesh, and that would not have convinced Peter and the other Jews that the Gentiles now had received Holy Spirit. They thought that was a gift only for them, only for the Jews. You know, the Gentiles could have been water baptized, they could have been circumcised, they could have worn friendship rings, you name it. It wouldn't have made any difference. But watch this, the next verse. Why were the circumcised believers astonished? Verse 46, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You bet. And so all through the book of Acts, speaking in tongues is what the disciples do to obey God and to show that they are absolutely filled with the Spirit. It's interesting that when Peter went home, of course, the other Jews didn't believe it. In chapter 11, the apostles and brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. And Peter began to explain everything. And in verse 15, he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. In verse 18, when they heard this, they had no further objections. You bet. In Acts chapter 19, please. Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul meets a group of people who had been born again. They had heard about John's baptism. They knew about the resurrection, but they didn't know about the Spirit. Acts 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Again, watch your translation. First of all, the word "the" is not in any Greek text. The word "Holy" and "Spirit" should be small letters. Paul asked them, "Did you receive Holy Spirit? Did you receive the gift when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." Paul asked, "Wow, what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they said, "water." Paul said, "Well, John baptized with a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one coming after him, that's Jesus. And when they heard the message about Jesus, as you can see here in verse 5, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Here again, speaking in tongues. All through Acts, the believers spoke in tongues, and it showed that they were born again. It showed the inward presence of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, I've heard some people argue that, well, Acts doesn't say that everyone who was saved spoke in tongues. Come on now, it doesn't have to. It doesn't say that everyone who was saved prayed or gave or went to church. Acts isn't doctrinal. Acts shows us how the first century church lived. We live by the doctrine of the church epistles, and 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I want every one of you to speak in tongues. And we need to obey that, listen to that and obey it. And now I want to take the time to talk to you about how to speak in tongues. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that if you will follow these simple instructions, that you too can speak in tongues. I have helped people literally all over the world. I've done mission trips to Haiti, to South Africa, to Singapore, to the Philippines. I've helped people all over the world speak in tongues, and I learned this from great men who taught me to speak in tongues, and I have talked and helped many other people speak in tongues. So there are some simple things that you need to be aware of, and I'm going to go through some simple points, seven simple points, and these are in your syllabus too. First of all, remember that you don't know what you're saying. And I cannot tell you the number of people I've tried to lead into tongues, and they sit there with a blank stare on their face, and they say, "I don't have anything to say." Correct. You don't. God is going to give you the utterance as you speak. You will not understand it. Please realize that. You will not understand what you're speaking. The second point is, you must do the speaking. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, anyone who speaks in a tongue. There's never, ever a reference to the Lord speaking. It's the people doing the actual speaking. This, by the way, explains why some Christians do speak in tongues and why others don't. God wants all of us to, but he's not going to force you. You must do it. And that brings us to our third point. You've got to speak. You've got to speak. Just please say out loud, stop the tape if you need to, just say out loud, I know that God wants me to speak in tongues. Just say that out loud. Pay attention to what you're doing as you speak. You're moving your mouth. You're moving your tongue, and you're the one that actually makes the sound. Speaking in tongues is speaking. If you don't move your mouth and make the sounds, then you're not going to speak in tongues, or any other language for that matter. You have to move your lips and your throat and your tongue. Number four, point four is the language forms as you speak, syllable by syllable. It forms as you speak. Since no one understands what they're saying in a tongue, you can't wait until you know what you're going to say. The Lord won't give you a sentence in tongues. He won't give you a sentence. You're only going to have a syllable. The Lord literally will put on your tongue a syllable, and the words will come out as you speak. Remember the verse that says we walk by faith and not by sight. God says he wants you to do this. He says he's given you the gift. Trusting God now is saying, God, I know you want me to do this. I know you've given me the gift. Here I go. And you start to speak. The New American Standard Bible, by the way, has a translation of Acts 2:4 that's very accurate. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And that's the way the text reads. The Lord gives you the utterance and you speak. The Lord gives you the word to speak. A great Bible teacher, the man who taught me to speak in tongues, said, what you speak is God's business, but that you speak is your business. Now, I'm going to say that our fifth point of speaking in tongues will seem strange at first. Why? Because you're not used to speaking a language you don't know. It's going to feel strange, seem strange. Just keep walking out on faith. Just keep obeying the scripture. Just keep doing what God says to do. Believe me, this will get easier with practice. Sixth point is there may be a tendency to repeat a syllable or word over and over. I've heard people speak in tongues and they'll go, you know, valaba, 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 valaba. And they'll go over and over again. And it's not that what they're saying isn't in tongues, but what happens is they get in kind of a loop where they're comfortable. And remember that the Lord will help you expand your vocabulary. If you get stuck and find yourself saying the same word over and over again, which does happen occasionally, force yourself to try different vowels or consonant sounds to become unstuck. Remember, this is a language. And someone listening, it should sound like a language. And the devil may try to tell you that you're not speaking in tongues, but just making up words. And I've had so many people tell me, John, I'm just making this stuff up. Well, it seems like that because it's coming right up out of your spirit into your mind. Remember, God's spirit teaches his spirit in you, then your spirit teaches your mind. So it does seem like it's in your mind. But as you're speaking fluently, you'll have to admit as you obey. And remember John 7:17, that we will learn right doctrine as we walk out. That, believe me, don't let the devil tell you you're making it up. You didn't think of how to do it. You're obeying God. Walk forth and speak in tongues. And if you'll use these steps, I guarantee you that you will be blessed. You know, what I'd like to do is just speak in tongues for 5 or 10 seconds, just so you could hear. Perhaps you've never heard anyone speak in tongues, and you need to hear how the language sounds. Lea shanze lebe keto sosto lovoko, kara tatala kandoso stesti bishin susluba, vindu kutua tashin halata jokoto shin salava kandodos, telaba shase lebo shosolo. Well, that's my language. Sue, do you want to speak in tongues?
Sure. Kinatele jasalia prayomenain, aikine brekite, kevietreem pediatoshi, kutolo jasalia prayantimin, inimiti, kunavatalia prayaito, aile custo shaviatrele, omanta kaliambrein, una gracanta cavanta.
You know, anybody that wants to analyze that can tell it's a language, and I'm sure that there are probably people around you that speak in tongues if you want some more examples. And I just want to go back and remind you that there's so many wonderful things that speaking in tongues is. Speaking the wonderful works of God, praising God, praying in the Spirit, edifying yourself, building yourself up in the faith. There's so many things that speaking in tongues is good for that it does for us. And it blesses God because it's obedience to God. And again, We are showing forth the power of God. When Jesus Christ said, you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to speak in tongues. I invite you to feel the power of God in your life. God bless you.